Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, February the 17th, 2026. 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Glad to have you along with us for the ride this morning. And it is 37 degrees, and the skies are partly cloudy right now. Now, 37 degrees, the snow is just about melted away from the big snowstorm that we had in January. It took, what, 2-3 weeks for this to happen, as the temperatures were way lower than they really should have been, way lower than the averages. But the snow has just about melted away, so we all are very happy with that in the Marion area. My yard, I can almost see my entire yard now, and my driveway is almost entirely cleared up. The snow is just about gone. Now, do want to do a little housekeeping here. Want to remind everybody, our big interview with Gordon Gee, President Emeritus of The Ohio State University, will air tomorrow morning in its entirety from 9:15 until 10 o'clock. Now, you have heard the clip of the interview in which President Emeritus Gee talks about the OSU Dr. Strauss scandal. He talks about Les Wexner. He talks about the incident last week with the documentarian and the blogger and the professor and the altercation that happened there. You've heard that clip, but that is only about 5 minutes of the interview. And there is so much more in this interview. President Emeritus Gee and I, we talk about the governor's race. We talk about his thoughts on Jim Tressel, former Ohio State football coach, becoming lieutenant governor. We talk about student loan debt. We talk about the future of education. We talk about the Department of Education. Should it be abolished, as some people feel it should and maybe is being abolished right now? We talk about what makes him Gordon Gee. We talk about the origin of the bow tie. We talk about coming back to Ohio State after leaving on not so great terms back in 2013 when he kind of left. I don't know if they say he resigned or if he was fired. I think they say he resigned. But it was certainly a force play because of some comments that he had made. So we talk about him leaving the university under not so great terms in 2013 and now coming back in 2025, 2026. Is there any redemption in that? So it's a very interesting interview. It's a very, I think, revealing interview, and it will air tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, 9:15 until 10 a.m. on this station. Now, it might not fill up the entire hour, and if it doesn't, we'll have phone calls with what's left of the hour. So tune into this. I think it's very revealing, not only for what he has said in the five-minute clip that you have heard, but for everything else he says in the interview. It's fascinating. And again, I thank President Emeritus Gee for inviting us to the campus last Thursday when all of this controversy was going on to have this discussion with him. And again, he did not say we can't talk about this. He did not say we can't talk about certain things. The floor was open, and he was very accommodating. So whether you like or dislike what President Gee had to say, I do have to say he did not put any guardrails on. He did not cancel the interview when everything was whipping up last week in the news cycle, and he answered every question. Now, again, you might not like how he answered the question, but he did answer all the questions that I asked him. So I've got to give him that, And I think that's very important to keep in mind, because not all people do that. When a controversy breaks out, a lot of times people do not want to talk to the press, especially, and they don't, or they'll put some guardrails on. They'll say, okay, I'll talk about everything but this. And President Guy did not do that. So I certainly do appreciate his ability to do that. So I thank him very much for doing the interview and just being candid. I think that's one thing that President Guy has always been, and I think that's what probably got him in trouble the first time around at Ohio State, which I think he would agree to, is that he was very candid in his answers to most questions. So I think it's his candidness that has failed him at times. But this morning, because of the big interview we have coming up tomorrow, there is somebody I wanted to talk to. We've had him on the show before. He is one of the stars of the hit HBO Max documentary Surviving Ohio State, which aired last summer. Steven Snyder Hill. And before we bring Steven in, I do want to play the clip of the Guy interview that was taped last Thursday that we did with President Guy, Emeritus President Guy, because I want to come back and get Steven's thoughts on this clip. And remember, the full interview will air tomorrow, but here is President Guy from last week.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about. Yeah. You can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEFCON 2, that's silly. People got angry about this.
Yeah, well,
what do you make of it?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. They can get angry because that's what it is. Because look, people take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, of course, I know Mr. Wexner very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity, and we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else, and we don't know how long the association or everything. So I do believe that we had this cancel culture, and I use it again. People don't see the right thing, and then all of a sudden they're a pariah, and people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think for you, and some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment, and it needs to be, we need to reacquaint ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech and about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person. But he knew a lot of people who probably had no idea about all the things he was doing. And I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to testify in regard to that. Did you watch the document? No. What do you just make of that whole story in general?
I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that If I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously, it's a very complex university. You're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office do anything about it. This one guy here saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the Perkins Foy. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name was mentioned when you were the president of the university. I mean, so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it. And I just don't talk about ideas that are being litigated right now.
Right. But you did not know about it. Is how, yeah. And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education, because that is what I want to talk about here, just happened this week. And you know, maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time, but people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs and I think a documentarian came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite see all of the altercation. But I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive, to the point that they were obnoxious, and I think that's not fair. You know, I mean, they're being good. Yeah, I mean, so I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching the class, and so I came out, went to the bathroom, and when I came out, and I was curious to them about, I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, they really got in his face, and he was in a role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that incivility should not be rewarded.
We want to take a quick break here, come back with President Gee, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, Alan.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short, but you talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meet you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. So what has happened with journalism is the fact it's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist, because we had a discussion, you asked that question, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right and from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
The full interview with President Emeritus E. Gordon Gee airs tomorrow morning, 9:15 a.m. Joining us via telephone, one of the stars of the hit documentary Last Summer, Surviving Ohio State, which chronicles the Ohio State rape scandal, Stephen Snyder Hill. Stephen, how are you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, just maybe a little louder and we'll be good.
Okay. That's
pretty good. Well, Stephen, when you hear President Gee talk about things that you're interested in, Les Wexner, obviously the Ohio State scandal, and the incident last week with the reporter, what comes to your mind?
That's a loaded question. I think that just listening to the interview again kind of re-triggers me on many of Dr. Gee's comments. I'm going to start by saying back in the 90s when I was a student at OSU, I really admired Gordon Gee. I thought that he was a great guy. He seemed kind of progressive, and he seemed like a cool president. And I think the students liked him a lot back then. My view of him now has just completely changed. And it's not because of cancel culture. It's because of the words that came out of his mouth. First, let's start with cancel culture. It's very, very, I understand why that triggers people, that people might be upset about things and take action about things. That's what people are dismissive about when they say cancel culture. Dr. Gee said in his statement that the First Amendment, you know, is alive and well, and everybody is protected under that, including the people that decide to criticize you and your actions. And, you know, cancel culture, I think that where it gets its the sting of everything is when people take action and stop spending, usually with organizations. But I want to remind everybody what he referred to cancel culture. He was the president of the university at a time when I was sexually assaulted. He's the guy that was in charge back then. There's a documentary about it. There are hundreds of kids that were raped. There were kids that have been sexually assaulted thousands of times under his watch. So I think that to look at those survivors whose lives were ruined by this and say that you're just canceling people, I think is absolutely the most, not only insensitive, but just the most disgusting thing that this guy can say. Like, I don't understand why anybody could listen to that and not be like, that comment right there should have got him fired again. I mean, he made his Catholic comment back in the 90s and got fired. So he has a history of kind of opening his mouth and saying things that he probably shouldn't. But that comment really, I mean, there's a documentary about this. There are hundreds of people that were affected. Their lives were ruined. And he was responsible. Ultimately, whether or not he wants to be dismissive about it now or not, he was responsible. He was the guy that was in charge back then. The next thing I want to go to is the evidence. When he said there was no evidence, that's a bold-faced lie. Yes, he was correct that his name came up 33 times in Perkins Coie. But when he says that there's no evidence, I posted online a couple letters. One of them, Strauss himself, was angry because he got suspended, and he wrote Gee's office demanding to be reinstated. So that was addressed directly to President Gee back then. Somebody wrote him back, a doctor wrote him back and referenced that letter. So in the letter that he wrote back to Strauss referenced that OSU was in contact with their attorneys. Gee is also a lawyer. So I do not understand how you can say that there's no evidence. And I don't understand how you can even claim that you had no knowledge of this, because at the most minimum, that's the most incompetent thing that I think that a president of a university could say, when a doctor who was sexually assaulting people and the medical board were going after wrote him a letter complaining and wanted to be reinstated, and even talked about the medical board in the letter. You would think that a lawyer running a university at a minimum would be like, what the heck is going on? And look into it a little bit. I mean, that's the other thing. He didn't look into this. This was a time. This is also the same time that he governed Ohio State. That Ohio State University itself, this is another document that I feel like is evidence, quote unquote. Ohio State University itself asked the medical board to keep the Strauss matter confidential until they could get their internal investigation done. So again, think about the optics of that. The medical board's sole purpose is governing the licenses of these physicians. So their purpose is to investigate sexual assault and to take away a license of a doctor that sexually assaults people. And here you have OSU telling the medical board, please keep this quiet. I don't even understand how that could have happened. But number two, how could Gee not know that? How could the president of the university not know that such a large university is going to the Ohio State Medical Board and telling them, hey, can you guys keep this quiet? That's a huge controversy and a huge scandal. And I think that at the most minimum for Gee, that is the most incompetence that you could display, not knowing that. But to call it cancel culture is absolutely ridiculous.
You know, Stephen, it's kind of interesting because what he says there, because I've heard it a few times now, is he says it was a complex university. He said he had no knowledge of what was going on. And I guess, do you think that Gee himself knew what was going on?
Here's what I would say, Scott. If I was in his position, I think having social-emotional intelligence to say, look, it's a big place, I screwed up, I should have known, that should be his response. Kids got raped under his watch. I should have known. That could be the minimum of what that guy should be uttering out of his mouth, other than saying that we're just canceling people or we're just dismissive of people. Because, I mean, that's the truth. The president of the university, of course he can't know everything that's going on at every second. But we're not talking like an employee got caught coming in late and got fired for that. We're talking a guy that was molesting hundreds of kids thousands of times that got raised to the Ohio State Medical Board, and they're fighting over whether or not to investigate this guy. That's not small beans here. You know, I mean, it's so dismissive to be like, well, I just didn't know. Like, it's complex. I mean, that's always a cop-out for most of these people. It's just so complex. I don't know. So does that abstain him of all the responsibility that he has to not let kids get raped because it's just too complex? I mean, it's just, out of everybody, the survivors are probably the most offended at him right now in his comments, his dismissive comments. We're not talking about canceling Bud Light because of a trans person. We're talking about rape and sexual assault and the people that he was in charge of at the time. So he can cancel culture all he wants. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous comment. It's a ridiculous way to absolve himself of any responsibility. And I'll remind you, Luann Stoia did an interview with him back in like 2020, 2021. And he said at that time, this was a colossal failure and the university really screwed up. And he said, if I had an opportunity, I would go to each one of those people and their families and apologize to them. Now, he said that when he wasn't on Ohio State's payroll. So that's a little bit of a difference now that he's back on their payroll. And, I mean, that whole thing, calling him his wingman, Ted Carter, that's almost like the most ridiculous term that you could use for Yee, especially since he was in charge of the university back when kids were getting raped.
Well, I think what a lot of people found interesting is when he does talk about the documentary and obviously what happened at Ohio State back then, he does start off by saying it was a terrible thing. It was obviously a terrible thing, but it there's no evidence that my office knew about it, and he says he did not personally know about it. Now, maybe that is because of the complex university. Maybe that is because he did not have the oversight that he should have had, as you say. But he does acknowledge it is a terrible, was a terrible thing. And I think when he's talking about cancel culture, and I'm no spokesperson for President Yee, but I think he's talking about himself being canceled as well, because it does seem like every time he makes a comment on something, whether it's Les Wexner or this, it makes the papers. And I think his ability to speak on it is what I think he's referring to, although I'm not for sure.
And I can understand that. I can empathize with the fact that, you know, I mean, in today's social media environment and in today's world of everybody being plugged in, there is a lot more visibility for people that make dumb comments. And so, you know, I'm not absolving Guy of any of his dumb comments. I think that I understand what you're saying about, you know, people getting, just making the news really quickly. Again, it's OSU and Guy right now have a way of trying to minimize things that are ridiculous. I mean, for him to say, you know, that this, you know, this situation was horrible. You know, OSU has said the situation's horrible. They've been saying that, but then they've also fought us for 8 years in court. So you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. And I'll remind you that they were saying it was horrible and encouraged the survivors to speak about their horrible experiences because they thought that that was a good thing for them in court because they were trying to get it thrown out on statute of limitations. So it's a very manipulative thing to do. Even this coded language saying 30 years ago, that is a lawyer speaking to you saying, these guys were way past their time. They shouldn't be able to sue us. And it's easy to say it was a horrible thing when it's in the past for you. It's done. It's a done deal. You know, you didn't know about it. You're just moving on with life. But here we are 8 years later in court fighting these guys because they still have not taken responsibility for what they did or didn't do at the time or covered up or shredded or all the things that they're accused of. The other thing that I want to talk about is Wexner. Let's talk about that for a second when we're talking about cancel culture. So I understand that Guy, one of his strengths, one of his talents at OSU was fundraising. And that's why he was a great president. That's why OSU loved him. He raised so much money, and Gee is notorious for raising money. So, of course, that's a value of his, is when people give him money. Now, the problem with that is that Les Wexner, again, I worked for the Limited back in the 90s. I worked for Victoria's Secret Catalog at one point when I was in college. So Les Wexner, I understand that he's philanthropic. I understand that he's given to a lot of the communities. And it's not that I want to see the man fail. That's such a dismissive thing that Gee said. We don't want to see people fail. That's not what anybody wants. We want it not to be raped. That's what we wanted. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that gets so, it just triggers you. But when you're talking about Wexner, let's look. So, okay, first of all, yes, absolutely, I agree with him. Wexner has not been convicted. If that's their barometer of who they think it's okay to hang out with, or they think that it isn't a bad look for them to have on their buildings his name, I would remind them that, yes, he wasn't convicted yet of anything, but he was named over 4,000 times in the Epstein files documents. Whether or not he was complicit intentionally or not, he funded Epstein's whole empire. So all the bad stuff that happened, that money came from Wexner. And, you know, I question a lot of what Wexner says after the fact, because I don't know how somebody can steal $100 million from you and you just, you know, don't report it. That seems a little bit weird to me. But again, we're not talking, this is just the first time that Wexner's been wrapped up in controversies. At Abercrombie & Fitch, the CEO was convicted of sex trafficking, prostitution rings. At Victoria's Secret, I read the lawsuit against Victoria's Secret L Brands from their shareholders, which basically said that people were telling Wexner that these managers were telling these models to sit on their lap, quote unquote, and that Wexner just ignored all those culture comments and the complaints, and so did his board. That sounds pretty familiar with what is happening at OSU. And guess who sat on the board back when Strauss was here too? So this guy has a history of this type of involvement with these scandals, and just, you know, he's just around it a little bit too much for the optic of it not to appear a little bit shady. And again, I know that he's not convicted yet, and we should let that process play out. But I cannot fathom, because I'm the person that made the actual request to get Wexner's name off the building. I can't fathom that any organization that I would be proud to be part of wouldn't have some kind of hesitation for somebody that's named 4,000 times in the Epstein files documents, somebody that had Abercrombie & Fitch, you know, this controversy, somebody that had this controversy at L Brands. I mean, his list goes on and on of all this stuff. And I'll remind you, him drawing that naked picture to Jeffrey Epstein and saying, I'll give you what you like. You know, I mean, it seems a little bit dismissive of us to say, oh, Wexner's an upstanding guy. Because it's weird that Gee is so defensive of him. And he isn't even, again, not even a word saying, yeah, there's a lot of things that look bad right now. Gee wouldn't be on somebody's list to be quote-unquote canceled if he just acknowledged, this looks bad for Wexner right now. It's not great. It's not great that his companies are involved in this. It's not great that he drew a picture of a naked woman. It's not great that his money paid for Epstein's stuff. It's not great that a woman, you know, accused him of being raped on his property, Maria Farmer, and testified to that fact. And that, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. I saw a document in the Epstein files that Epstein wrote Wexner, and it was kind of a veiled threat against him and his wife about, you know, Les, we've been through a lot of stuff, and I'd hate for Abigail to find this out. And that does not ring of a person that's wholesome, you know. So Gee can take his little comments about Wexner being the most upstanding person, and he vouches 100% for him. He really should keep his mouth shut and let this, like he said, the process play out. But he also needs to recognize that Wexner's been embroiled in a lot of these controversies, and that's why I think that it doesn't take two people 2 seconds if they see Wexner's name to get a bad feel in their gut.
Do you think the names will come off the buildings as this process continues?
You know, that's a very good question, and I would like to say it's a no-brainer. I mean, and I hate to say this, but Children's Hospital has Abigail Wexner's name on it too, and I don't think it's a very good look for a Children's Hospital to have a name on there if it's associated in any way with Jeffrey Epstein. And, we haven't taken grievances to them, but I would say that any organization, any normal organization, and you're seeing politicians do this now, there's a lot of pressure on them to give back money that came from Epstein, and I think that a lot of them are jumping on board to give it back and do the right thing. Mm. But OSU is a different beast. OSU, out of all the colleges, Penn State, Michigan State, University of Michigan, California, all these colleges that had these sexual assault scandals that weren't even as bad as some of the things that Strauss did, they all did the right thing. They tried to reconcile, and they tried to fix what happened, and they tried to admit what they did, and they tried to work with these survivors to make them whole. OSU has done everything that they can to do the wrong thing. I mean, so far, I've got a whole tally of these guys got House Bill 249 killed that would have allowed us to sue, and then went out and told people that they didn't have any stance on it because that would be inappropriate. I have a recording of their lawyer lying to the court when I was fighting them for public records, where she said that we didn't even have his documents from Perkins Coie, which was a lie. She said that later they came back and said, oh, we just didn't have them from our own legal team. So basically OSU was telling the court for public records, OSU didn't have them back from OSU, and that's why we broke public records law. And I would remind you that that's the record that shows that they lied to us when they were trying to make everybody believe that we were all liars. So OSU has a history of this just ridiculousness that no other colleges have taken that path. So in answer to your question, I mean, this guy gives them a lot of money. I don't think they care. I don't think that they care about their reputation. I mean, the fact that this OSU documentary, if I hear one more of them say that they didn't watch it, I'm like, how brave of you to be so crass to say you didn't watch it, because at a minimum, I get it. I get it that you don't want to condone, you don't want to publicize it or do whatever. But at a minimum, come on, guys, you need to at least acknowledge that you care, that you give even iota? If you give an iota of care about the fact that this stuff did happen, you've already said it happened through your Perkins Coie report, and the fact that you as Ted Carter is the brand new president who's in charge of how many thousands of kids today is like, no, I didn't bother to watch it. When you come in to run this university, because now he's the university lead. He's the person that's going to direct this when the next sexual assault happens. So he's sending a huge message, and OSU's sending a huge message to all those parents out there and all their donors that we didn't even bother to watch what happened. We don't care. And then for Dee to say he didn't watch it, I mean, come on, dude. You were in charge of this place. You were the one that's responsible. You really are. Whether or not you're going to claim it or whether or not you're going to dismiss it, you're in charge of it. So it makes you a really crappy human being if you like are dismissive and like, no, I didn't watch it. Because I would think that at a minimum, if I was the president, even if I did everything that I could, everything right, and somehow a letter that was addressed to me, I missed that, and missed the whole investigation, and missed my university, you know, trying to coax the medical board to not talking about Strauss or not bringing it up, and then never filed a complaint against him, and all these kids got raped on my watch, I would think that I'd be like, geez, I really need to know what happened. I need to hear from these kids. I would think that that would be your feeling, but obviously they're really brave to just say, no, we didn't watch it. That's just really crass, and honestly, you know, I don't condone cancel culture. I don't think people should just try to cancel people. But I understand why they do. Because if you're going to be that disgusting, then you know what? You need out, voted out, because you're just gross. And then, you know, the last thing I want to address, too, is this journalist. Again, I just listened to Guy's lies. He said, I barely noticed what happened. I'm sorry, I watched the video. That guy beat the crap out of this guy, like smashing his camera. Things are flying off, and Guy is like 3 feet away, and he kind of noticed. And then he says that the blogger was being aggressive by saying, I'd like to ask you a question. That's aggressive, not punching somebody in the face and breaking their camera and beating them down to the floor. That, I mean, come on, guy. Like, you wonder why your name is going to be plastered all over things. It's because you're saying crappy stuff. I mean, I guarantee, Scott, everything that I've told you going through these 5 points, my name isn't going to be plastered all over things for being canceled, because I'm saying the truth. I'm saying the right thing. I'm saying what any human being would feel in any of these situations, and I think people can resonate with that. Now, I'm sure that there's a couple people at OSU that would try to cancel me if they could. But other than that, most people are pretty civil, using these words. I think that people will listen to that and think, oh, my God, my daughter's a sexual assault survivor, and that guy just said that they were canceling, you know, people because of what they went through, because they were raped. And you'd think, Jesus, you can't say stuff like that, dude. You just can't.
You know, it's very interesting because I this all kind of goes together in a way, even what happened last week with the professor and the documentarian or the blogger. You know, and I don't know exactly what Guy is saying here because I'm not in his mind, and again, I'm not an apologist or a spokesperson for him, but what do you make of the fact that the man is teaching a class, which is what he's there to do, President Emeritus Guy, he goes to the bathroom, and the blogger has already said he wanted to talk to him about Les Wexner, so he waits outside of the bathroom for Guy to come out, and then puts the camera in his face and asks him about this. And again, not that it's ever right to assault somebody. I've said that for a week now. You cannot put your hands on somebody. So what the professor did, that's a whole different thing. But if you're a guy like President Emeritus Guy, and you're teaching a class, and you go to the bathroom, and somebody throws a camera in your face as you come out, you're not prepared for it, starts asking about Les Wexner, he goes on OSU in January, makes some comments about Les Wexner, which I assume were his honest comments, that he felt that this was cancel culture when it came to Les Wexner. Every time he makes a comment, it kind of makes national attention, and he gets not the greatest press. Do you think maybe that's why he's a little skittish of things like this?
Well, those are fair points, Scott, and I would say don't make such abhorrent comments. I mean, honestly, like I said, I can't emphasize how dismissive it is to say that people that were raped are just canceling people because they're upset about you putting a name of somebody that's associated with a pedophile that, you know, those 37 women or whatever, the girls, babies that people raped under his watch. I just think that it's super, super dismissive. And I think that you are responsible for your words. And unfortunately, I think that when you say such abhorrent things, you have to understand that it is going to cause people to want to find out more, to want to investigate, to want to come. Now, to your point of journalism and of the kind of like aggressive journalism, like with the rooster showing up, you know, there are things that have happened that I completely agree with him, where I think that some of it is for probably show. I think some of it's probably to get likes and followers and things like that. But I think also, the whole thing with the rooster is some of it is exposing some of Ohio's dirty politics. And you're not going to probably get an interview with somebody. So somebody like yourself that's a journalist that would call him and say, hey, will you sit down with an interview? There's a pretty, you know, like an understanding that you're not going to ask him the aggressive things in a way that probably might need to be asked, you know, a little bit more brazenly, like you might just push back a little bit more, because like I think you did a great job with him. I think you asked those hard questions, and I think that he was probably more, you know, relaxed to be able to say some of the horrible things that he said around you because of your approach. But I think that some of these journalists, I think that their intention is to try to catch them and put them on the spot. I mean, the same guy, one of the things that he did that I absolutely loved is he got in Ben Johnson's face at OSU, which is their spokesperson, and said, Ben, when are you going to quit lying to these people? And I agree with that. I can tell you at least 30 different lies that Ben Johnson has said, or horrible things that guy said, that's gaslighting survivors, and it is. And that's where kind of the activism journalism, where you're like, I'm glad that somebody said that, acknowledged that to him, and put him on the spot. I wanted to see his reaction. You know, I mean, But I agree. I think that, that there is a point that goes too far. I did hear that, that rooster say that he would not follow him out to his car because that would seem stalky or whatever. But I think putting a camera in somebody's face is not at all on the same level of attacking somebody. And I think that you just acknowledge that too. It's different. And it doesn't make him uncomfortable. Sure, it does. But I don't think that a camera would be in his face if he wouldn't be saying these awful things.
Well, and
I just can't feel bad for him or sorry for him if you're going to put yourself in a position where people are mad. People are mad at you. And you have to say, this isn't just Steve Snyder Hill saying what he said is terrible. It's a lot of people. And I don't think that we're doing it just to be part of a mob. I think we're doing it because he offended thousands and thousands of people with his words.
Well, and I just want to be clear on this because I think we have to be fair in our journalistic integrity here. I am not the arbiter of who's a journalist, and I think the Rooster does do some great work doing the journalism that he practices. I just think in this case, and correct me if I'm wrong, he does stop Guy as he's coming out of the bathroom, which I'm sure Guy did not know that that was going to happen, but Guy does stop and talk to him, and Guy does give an answer. He does give a little blurb to him as he's coming out of the bathroom, and they continue to follow him, saying things to him as he's going down the hallway and then trying to get on the elevator. Now, again, that doesn't justify the professor grabbing a hold of anybody, but that's not Guy grabbing a hold of anybody. And I think maybe that's where the line went too far. And then I just want to say this, and then you can come in, Stephen, is that when I set the interview up with Guy, he did not cancel when all this controversy was going on. He did not say, you can't talk to me about certain subjects. And the interesting thing to me was the Rooster was trying to ask him about Wexner, and the documentarian who got pushed down wanted to ask about student loan debt. And I talked to him about both of those things, and he answered them both. Now, people might not like the answers, but he did answer.
Yeah. And I think that that's fair. And like I said, I started this interview. I mean, I've kind of torn Guy apart in it, but I started by saying I respected him at one point. I really did like him as a human being. And I do appreciate that I think that he did handle the situation as aggressive as it might have been, or as uncomfortable, I guess. I would say uncomfortable more than anything, because I watched the whole video too. And let's be honest, the other professor, the one that didn't attack, was being absolutely ridiculous when he was like, you are assaulting me! You are assaulting me! And he wasn't doing anything. He was talking to him, and he was holding his hands up, and he was blocking him from going on a public elevator and saying, like, he just kept acting like these guys were beating him up. And it's like, he was, I mean, to me, that was more aggressive behavior than just asking questions and trying to get on an elevator. I think that there's a point where you've escalated the situation into being something that's not good. And I mean, I just think that that kind of behavior was ridiculous from that guy too. Now, Guy was there. Guy didn't do it. I'll give him that. But to now say, well, again, it's so dismissive not to acknowledge that his buddy beat the crap out of somebody, like right in front of him, and to be dismissive enough to say, well, you know, I saw a little bit, yeah, that, whatever. There's no way. I've been in high school before when fights were going on. There is no way that you're standing 10 feet away from some guy getting his butt kicked and his camera getting broken right in front of everything that you don't see that. And so don't be dismissive. Don't say that the journalists were aggressive. At minimum, it just makes you the most insensitive person on the face of the planet to be like, these journalists were the ones that were aggressive, when this guy's probably the one with the black eye at the end of it. You know, it's like, I just think that that's incredibly dismissive. And those comments are what gets people on the news. Those comments are why people want to talk to him now. And that's his own fault.
When we look back on this, as you said when we started this interview, you respected Guy, you liked him as a president when you first came in contact with him. Today, what is your view of him and after these recent comments?
You know, I'm sad to say that my view of him is that, you know, he's changed. And again, I'm jaded because I know why he's changed. Now that he's on OSU's payroll again, everything's different. Because if you go back to that, I'll send you the link to that interview. If you go back to that interview when he wasn't directly on their payroll, and he was at, I think, maybe Brown University or whatever, and he was just visiting for a thing, and she interviewed and she asked him about Strauss, I think that that was the gi that I believe in. And that's the gi that I really think is somewhere down there before OSU started paying him money again. Because now that he's on their payroll, everything is different. I'm not going to talk about that litigation. That's and I think it's just cancel culture. I think that what I'm hearing is not Gordon Gee's words. I think I'm hearing OSU's words. Hmm. And OSU has a way of doing that. You know, unfortunately, President Drake, President Johnson, you know, we've gone through all these presidents in the time they fought us. I think that what's unfortunate for me is that I don't dislike any of these people. I've said from day one, Drake, when he apologized to us in his apology, five times in it, it said that, you know, that was the university 20, 30, 40 years ago. So while he was apologizing, he was also dismissing it. And so that kind of stuff is just annoying. And people ask me, like a journalist like you asked me, well, then what should he have said? And here's what I say. It's really easy. Guys, you know, when I was in charge back then, or when I was in charge today, I wasn't here back then. And that's okay to clarify that. I wasn't here when this happened, but I am here today. It's horrible. What I'm hearing is horrible. And it's, on one hand, I've got these survivors that their lives have been ruined, and, you know, they've been sexually assaulted, they've been raped. That's horrible. On the other hand, I've got our reputation. I've got our money. I've got our integrity. I've got all this stuff that I have to protect. And I also have to reconcile with these guys. And that makes my job incredibly hard. Because I'm juggling both these things, and I think that just that human acknowledgement that this is hard, this is a hard situation to be in, would not have you on the papers of the news. It wouldn't have journalists coming up and getting in your face because you're just being honest. But now that Gee's back on their payroll, everything's different. It's cancel culture. It's whatever. And that was not the Gordon Gee of the 90s. That was not the Gordon Gee that I met back in the 90s. That was LGBT friendly and it's just not the same Gordon Gee. That's OSU now.
Well, what should Gordon Gee have said? When I ask him that question, what should he have said?
Which question are you referring to?
About OSU and the documentary.
I think that what he should have said was, I absolutely feel responsible. I am responsible. This is what I would have said. I am responsible, period. I am responsible because I was in charge of the university when this happened. I am responsible because I was in charge of the university when they investigated Strauss. I am responsible because I was in charge of the university when they asked the medical board to keep it quiet. I have to admit, I'm negligent because I did not know this stuff, and I feel horrible that I didn't know it, but I feel horrible that I failed, and I should have done better. And I owe it to these guys to know that I should have done better. That answer wouldn't have got him on any newspaper. Well, maybe in a positive light, that people would understand that he's a human being and that he does acknowledge it. By just saying that we're canceling people or that Les Wexner's a wholesome guy, he's dismissing a lot of facts there. He's dismissing, you know, the companies that he's involved in, all the stuff that I said earlier. So I think that it's kind of a rude, crappy, you know, response. And you have to own that. If you're gonna just be dismissive, then you gotta own that stuff. And that's what people don't like to hear. They don't want to hear people being dismissive.
A couple closing points here. Les Wexner has been ordered by a judge to testify in the OSU sexual abuse case. What do you think is gonna come of that?
You know, again, I really don't comment too much on the litigation piece of it because I don't know a lot of the details of it. What I can say is that my issue was, if you watch on Netflix, there's a documentary called Filthy Rich, the Jeffrey Epstein story. If you watch the whole documentary, it's primarily about Les Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein's relationship. But there's a point in it what really hit me really hard in the gut, where when L. Brands was getting sued, I was like, when people say that we're bringing up Wexner's name just because of its publicity, that's just, again, that's such a dismissive comment, because we're bringing it up very clearly because he was on the board when all this stuff was going down. So at some point, OSU can't say, oh, well, you know, the president didn't know. That, you know, the president, it's too hard for him to know. Now they're going to say, well, the board of trustees, the chair of the board of trustees, Mr. Wexner, you know, he didn't know, but, you know, the board of trustees can't know. So who does then? This university. That's the question that I have. If you can just be dismissive and say, oh, this is a big place, you know, all kinds of stuff can happen here, then you're just basically sending a pretty strong message to all the kids that go there. And I think that that's the danger that they have in all their donors. And I think that you're right, Scott. I can't get on one post of anything with OSU or Wexner right now that people aren't just shredding them, because I think people have had it. They're sick of the dismissive comments. They're sick of people, you know, watching this stuff play out on TV and watching all this, you know. When you see some guy's name in Epstein files 4,000 times, I don't know how you couldn't be a little bit embarrassed to say, I'm not going to say he's a good guy. I'm going to say, wow, that looks bad for him, and hopefully he's absolved of all this. At a minimum, I think that he's incompetent. So again, that's what I go back to, is Wexner needs to answer some questions. He was on the board at a time when they asked the medical board to keep this quiet. Did he know that? Did he know about the Strauss investigation? He needs to answer some of these questions, and I think that there are questions that are continually being brought up in the Epstein files that probably speak to his, his judgment on a lot of these issues.
And he'll certainly be answering some of these questions very soon. With about 30 seconds left to go, when Guy says, for whatever reason, that he did not personally know this was going on at OSU, the sexual abuse, does your gut say that he's telling the truth?
It does not. Well, okay, I'll say this. This is my politician answer. If he's telling the truth, that's negligent. And our judge even said that when on the Wexner deposition. One of the things that's interesting is when the judge overruled Wexner's trying to quash the subpoena, he said basically Wexner's made these statements that has said that he had no knowledge of Strauss. And the judge said that's showing deliberate indifference. So the judge has already said, I don't know that he can testify, and it's not going to prove what we're saying is that they were either deliberately indifferent, which I think is a kind way. I mean, Ted Grace has admitted he shredded documents. So, and I've seen them lie to people. I've seen them lie to the media. I've seen them lie to lawyers in the court, like in real time. I've seen this all happen. So, I mean, they've kind of proven to me what they are.
So you think Guy did know?
I think he either knew, which I don't understand how a letter's addressed to you. Okay, put yourself in his place, Scott. You're the president of the university. Somebody writes you a letter. They got fired. A doctor, not just a, you know, custodian or professor. It's a doctor that works for you, that it acknowledges in the letter that there was a medical board complaint against him, and he's basically fighting because, you know, he wants his job back. And I would think that as the president of the university, for a state agency that governs all the licenses to every single medical doctor, nurse, everybody that you have on your staff at your medical center, I think you'd be like, let's triage that up. I want to read more about that. I want to know more about this investigation. And I just don't think that if there's a sexual assault investigation, their counsel, Ellen Munoz, is their lawyer from back then. She was on all these documents. David Williams, she wrote a document that said about the three complaints, which mine was the second one, and they lied to me point blank in my paperwork, and then gave him a performance appraisal that said he was excellent after that. She was part of that, and she wrote those three complaints in a letter to David Williams. When that guy, Manny, the doctor that wrote back about Guy's letter, acknowledged that their counsel was involved in this. I think the question to Gordon Guy needs to be, so Helen Munoz was your lawyer. Did she not bring that to you? Does that make her the fall guy with this? Like, she, a lawyer, wouldn't have thought, I need to tell the board of the chair of trustees, Mr. Wexner, or I need to tell Mr. Guy that, you know, I'm one of our employees let the medical board know to keep Strauss quiet. That just doesn't seem very lawyerly of her. So I think that the facts are starting to play out as such that it makes him look like a liar. Mm.
It's certainly very interesting, and I thank you for coming on this morning. Steven Snyder Hill, one of the stars of the hit documentary, HBO documentary, Surviving Ohio State from last year. Watch it when you can. Thank you, Steven. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. Good day. All right, and don't forget, the Gordon Gee interview airs tomorrow morning in its entirety at 9:15, and we're coming back with your phone calls right after this.
Adam the Computer Guy, right here.
Today's top and trendy technology topics with yours truly every Wednesday.